Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Triangulation is brought to you by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Triangulation with Tom Arendt and Leo Laporte. Episode 54, recorded May 23rd, 2012. Alexander Jung. Triangulation is brought to you by GoToAssist. GoToAssist from Citrix lets you take control of your IT world from one simple cloud-based platform. Provide live or unattended support to all your users anywhere. Sign up for your free 30-day trial at GoToAssist.com. Click the Try It Free button and use the offer code Triangulation. And by Ford, giving customers the power of choice with a full line of electric and hybrid electric vehicles. Learn more about Ford electric vehicle technologies at Ford.com/technology. And by Pond5, the world's stock media marketplace. If you're a media maker who needs stock video clips, photos, illustrations, music tracks, or sound effects, check out Pond5 for instant downloads at the best prices anywhere. Check them out at Pond5.com. And for 25% off this month, use the offer code TWIT25. It's time for Triangulation, the show where we talk with the most interesting, the smartest, the most verbose people in technology. That's not the right word.
We're the verbose ones.
We're the verbose ones. Tom Merritt is here, the chief at TNT Tech News Today. And joining us today, Tom, we've got somebody I think who is one of the premier founders in technology today. Alexander Leung is the founder of SoundCloud, which is really, really hot. And he's coming to us from his home in Berlin. He splits his time between San Francisco and Berlin. And I'm going to go to your blog, Alexander, and read a quote about SoundCloud from Mike Butcher on TechCrunch. This is a couple of years back. Cloud computing becomes a rock star, gets drunk, sleeps with a groupie, and throws a TV out of the hotel window. That's SoundCloud.
That was the early days.
It's young and wild days.
It's so settled now.
There were a couple of rooftop parties there in the beginning, you know. But there's still a few of those, but less TVs out the windows these days.
Well, it's great. It's great to talk to you on Triangulation. Thank you for staying up late in Berlin and for joining us. Would you describe what SoundCloud is?
Sure. So, I mean, SoundCloud is actually like it's very, very simple. It's the leading social sound platform in the world, and what it does is really just allow people all over the world to be able to share sounds that they create and connect with other people all around the world through those sounds. So, you know, I feel like the web is an amazing way for people to connect through things that they create, which could be photos, videos, text. But for a long time, one of the things I'm passionate about, which is sound, has been missing from the web. So SoundCloud is really all about that, allowing people to share things, music they created, voice blogs, speeches, news reports, sports reports, any kind of sound, and allowing people to connect around that.
That's one thing that surprised me a little bit, because, you know, my son Henry, who is big into you know, Logic and makes music. He's 17 years old. He uses SoundCloud for his music. And that's kind of how I knew about SoundCloud for a long time. It was a music sharing platform. Increasingly, and it was Robert Scoble who opened my eyes to this, and then Dan Patterson, it's become a spoken word platform. When you started SoundCloud, did you envision that?
I think, to be fair, it was something that we hoped for, but that we didn't really see as clearly in the beginning. I think, you know, there is we kind of think of it like there's something going on in sort of like how people think of the world. Like, if you think about the concept of sound, like, a lot of people tend to immediately jump to thinking about music, and then from music jump to thinking about, you know, 50 Cent or Lady Gaga, like very big artists. And you know, it's understandable. Like, music is something, you know, super powerful, really important in everybody's lives. Big artists, obviously, like, you know, very bright, shining stars. They attract a lot of attention. But, you know, sound is much bigger than that. And it's a large part of our everyday life, you know, from a single conversation with somebody to walking down the street and sort of understanding, navigating the world around you through what you hear. And I think in the beginning, we were thinking a lot about tools that we needed, my co-founder Eric and myself, as sort of sound designers and musicians, like thinking about things that we needed. And I don't think we didn't quite see either, you know, the enormous breadth that sound is, and how much different sounds are actually out there. But I think, you know, once we sort of, you know, SoundCloud started getting a little bit of traction, it was quite easy to see, because all of a sudden you had a lot of other people using it, even, you know, public companies saying like, hey, we want to use SoundCloud for putting up our quarterly like earnings calls. And we're like, wow. Oh, right. It actually makes a lot of sense for that. And since then, it's just been really inspiring to see, you know, how many different people use it in different ways, like everything from, you know, from presidents to parents recording their kids. And it took a while to wrap our heads around it, but in the end, it's actually really simple. It's just that, you know, 6 billion people on the planet, and for everybody, sound is a huge part of their lives, right? So, and most people are spending more and more time online. And at the moment, there's just not the same representation of that richness of the offline sounds online. So it makes a lot of sense to really think about all different kinds of sounds and allowing anybody who's creating sounds or connecting with another person through sound to be able to do that through SoundCloud.
We use it on Tech News Today because we get voicemails in a Google Voice inbox, but we can't link out to that because that'll expose their phone number. So we take the voicemail, put it in SoundCloud. Now it's shared. Anybody can play it, and we can link to it from the show notes. And that's something that Iaz came up with, and I was like, oh, I guess, yeah, we could use SoundCloud for that. But I still was thinking of SoundCloud as more of a music place, because that's where I'd found on SoundCloud a lot. But I've seen a lot of articles talking about it as the YouTube for sound.
That seems most apt. Yeah. Mm. It was YouTube is video, SoundCloud's for sound.
But you avoided a lot of the problems that YouTube had. YouTube's still suffering from being targeted by the movie and TV industry as a haven for piracy. SoundCloud is, yeah, I don't know if you've totally avoided that, but I've never seen SoundCloud bandied about as like, oh, it's this haven for pirated music.
Well, I think one thing that, you know, if we go back to, you know, why Eric and I started this, where we're approaching it from the perspective of, we were creating sounds and we needed tools. So, you know, a little bit, you know, from a sort of ego perspective, but we were always thinking about, you know, what can we do for creators? And that's been sort of a guiding star for us, which still is. Like in most sort of decisions we face, we think about, okay, you know, what does this mean for somebody who's creating something? And I think that's maybe, you know, that's quite a different approach to what a lot of other people have done out there. And, you know, one thing that's led to is, you know, just great features for people to be able to record through a phone directly and share that directly to the web really fast. But it also means looking at, you know, a professional musician or a record label or an artist manager, all these people who are also involved on the creation side, what is it that they actually need? So from quite early on, like, we spent a lot of efforts building up like a large system for being able to detect content and allow people to choose what to do with it and things like that, where, you know, it was a lot easier for us to actually go out to creators and say, you know, hey, these are the different things that we're building, like which stuff of this works for you and which doesn't. So we never had this sort of antagonistic approach to it, and we really wanted to try and figure out what was needed. And I think that was sort of a different approach than people had seen before. And just that thing of like really putting the creator's interests first, I think is something that a lot of users have recognized and really, really appreciate.
It worked for you, so why wouldn't it work for them? But how do you avoid piracy?
Well, partly through those systems. So, you know, having content identification systems, having very, like, easy reporting tools, takedown processes, and, like, having everything like that automated. And also by working really closely with, you know, a lot of the different record labels and working together with them and figuring out, you know, it's like, what's the stuff they're seeing that works, what doesn't, and just sort of tuning that, you know, as we go along.
The other side of that, though, is people in the industry saying, great, you want to work with us? You have to shut down everything. And SoundCloud hasn't done that. I mean, it's very easy for me to take something and put it up and share it with people.
Well, it depends on what you put up.
Yeah, well, maybe that's because I'm not putting up anything that falls afoul. But you know, I don't see a lot of undue restrictions on me when I'm following the rules. And I can't say that for every sharing platform.
Right. Well, I mean, that's the thing, right? If you're creating something and then putting it up, like, I mean, it's up to you what you want people to be able to do with it, and that's the same sort of principle for us. Is that, you know, if you want people to if you want to keep it private and not share it with anybody, that's your call. Like, if you want to share it publicly and put it under a Creative Commons license, that's your call as well as the creator. There are a bunch of checks, you know, on everything that gets uploaded to make sure that it's your content. But ultimately, it's in some ways, you know, there's complexity around that, but you can really sort of pull it back to a very simple principle of just like what did the creator of this actually intend people to do with it.
You know, it strikes me, actually, YouTube is a bad analogy. It's more like the Flickr of audio.
Mm-hmm.
It really feels, in a way, like Flickr. There's sharing, there's social, you know, people put stuff up for you to hear.
There's professionals, there's amateurs.
Right, there's a freemium model.
You can share with your friends or you can share with the public.
Yeah. You don't have ads on SoundCloud, right? It's all, you make your money on the professional subscription?
Yep, that's right.
So it's actually very capable for free. I've never... actually pay for it. I should, because I really like it. But you don't need to. You get like 2 hours on there, and I mean, you get plenty of time. It takes. In fact, I don't know. Can you see my screen, Brian? I'm on SoundCloud, my SoundCloud account right now. It's very easy. You can either upload or record a file. It supports AIFF, Wave, FLAC, OGG. And you can see your open source roots there with FLAC and OGG, MPEG-2 as well as MPEG-3. AAC, AMR, and WMA files. I mean, that is a broad range of audio files, and it's just upload. And once you upload, then you'll have your tracks, and you'll see your tracks. And I really like the feature that you've added where tracks have a waveform, and then people can comment. This is heavily commented. So you can see all of these little bubbles at the bottom are people's comments. And this is where it reminds me of a little bit of Flickr, because it's you know, especially stuff that's very active, as all of these are. And now I see Katy Perry is on here, but this is a remix. Do you have a lot of mashups, remixes, things like that? And does that cause issues for you?
Well, there was a great thing. It was a few weeks ago, but it was a really nice video around it. So we have. There's ongoing like remix competitions and stuff like that artists and labels do.
So that's kind of
like
with her support.
All the time on SoundCloud.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so Beyoncé did this really cool one like a few weeks ago, which was basically like remix a new Beyoncé track. The winner was going to get there was a fairly significant cash prize, and they would get released on the new Beyoncé EP as well.
Wow.
And they actually they produced this, or they called up the winner and then sort of surprised him by having Beyoncé get on the video Skype and recorded it and put it out. And
wow.
Like, his reaction was awesome. He was like, I can't believe it. I have to go and lie down. Like, Which, I mean, think about it, right? Like, I mean, you know, if you go back a couple of years, like how would that even be possible to take, you know,
right.
One of the biggest stars in the world and like, one guy won and is getting released, but all these other people sort of also got the chance to sort of co-produce with Beyonce, which is pretty cool. Like I had a personal similar one where I was, you know, logging in one day and checking out my SoundCloud stream, and there's a track from 50 Cent, which is like,
wow,
it's all just him rapping. And in the beginning, he's saying like, you know, produce this track. So, you know, I got to work and, you know, felt like I was, you know, I was producing a track with 50 Cent.
Which That's
was,
pretty neat.
Which was pretty cool.
You're getting the artists are buy-in, and that's clear. And that's actually the best sign of all that you're on to something is when the record labels say, we don't want to shut it down. We want to play along.
Yeah, look, using SoundCloud, which I have for a long time, and talking to you now, I would never know there's any issue with the music industry and the internet. It seems
right.
It seems like fairyland.
It's happy, you know, happy, it's happy people. We're going to take a break. We're talking with Alexander Leung, one of the founders, along with Eric Wall. It's Eric Wall.
The Swedish pronunciation is Erik Wahlfors, but I think turns into like Eric Wahlfors.
Wahlfors.
Am I saying Leung right?
Not really, but that's okay.
Let me hear it. How are we supposed to say Andrew Leung?
Jung.
Huh?
Jung.
No just, L. Just Jung.
Just drop the L. Yeah.
Jung.
Oh, well, that's easier.
Like the psychologist.
Like the Jung. Like Jung.
Exactly.
All right. He's Swedish via the UK, and he's living in Berlin, so there. And he's a founder. And SoundCloud is a huge hit. We're going to talk more about it. I want to talk about your API because clearly you are very open about how people use SoundCloud in ways that may even seem to kind of undermine your own business model. We'll talk about that and a lot more in just a bit with Alexander Leung. I like it.
Easy.
It's so much easier. But first, a word from Go to L'Assist. No, that doesn't make sense. That's not right. Go to Assist is the brand new from Citrix. Wait a minute, you say it's 10 years old. It's not brand new. Well, it is 10 plus years old, giving people remote support from the cloud, one of the original cloud solutions. But it's brand new because it's getting better, and they've added a new monitoring feature. This is actually something that Citrix acquired recently, and they folded it in to Go to Assist. And Go to Assist, here it is, a 10-year-old product that's actually like light years better all of a sudden because you've got the great remote support and now you've got monitoring, which means if you want to get in the managed service provider business, if you want to be an IT professional with lots of clients, you can. Our IT guy is huge GoToAssist supporter. He has been using a much more expensive product. And we said, Russell, would you like to try GoToAssist, and you know he has 855 clients, individual companies that he supports, and
he must have a huge staff, right?
Three people.
Yeah, exactly.
Three people, and they're able to do this because GoToAssist does things like lets you know ahead of time before the hard drive's full or about to fail or the toner cartridge is running out or there's network congestion issues. You can monitor all of that. You can do inventories of not only hardware but software, network peripherals, Mac, PCs, everything. It is an incredible product, and I want you to try it free for 30 days. If you would like to take your business, if you're an IT support person, you want to take your business to the next level, if you want to become a managed support provider, if you would like to just in your own business have much better IT, this is a great solution. We have it now. You know, one of the problems we have every once in a while in the middle of the night, the servers will crash, and I have to either get up and come in or call John or somebody to get up and come in. Now with GoToAssist, it's trivial for me from my house to go to any server, see its status, reset it, fix it, reboot it, do it all from my house. It is unbelievable. You've got to try this. GoToAssist.com. The offer code is triangulation, 30 days free. And, you know, it's the beauty of this is you subscribe and it just gets better and better and better. And it's automatic. You get the upgrade automatically. GoToAssist.com. Use the offer code triangulation. Alexander Leung is our guest. You know, I posted to SoundCloud the other day using Spreaker because Scoble said now anybody can do what Leo Laporte does. I have a national radio show and I have all this support and stuff. He says he's using his iPhone with Spreaker. He records the show. It goes out on the SoundCloud. It's automatically now on, and this is a really interesting deal that you just made. It's automatically on Flipboard. You can be flipping through Flipboard, listening to the radio. Listen to, you know, Scoble's show.
Mm-hmm.
This is incredible. But what I find amazing is that you really you've published an API that lets people almost use you without giving you any credit. I mean, what's the story, man?
I mean, we do like, I mean, you know, I think that, you know, one of the, like the web in general is like, it's one of the greatest inventions ever, right? And one of the principles of it is, you know, a fairly open system that lets, you know.
Tell that to Mark Zuckerberg, will you?
Well, let's things connect together.
And
always,
the U.S. Senate.
Well, you know, that then it gets a little bit more tricky, perhaps.
Right.
But on a general level, like, I forget who said it first, but there was, you know, this analogy of, you know, Lego bricks that you sort of piece together,
right,
and you base something out
and
of it.
And they should all interoperate.
Exactly. And like, you know, it's a really powerful idea when it works. It's something different from a lot of things we've had, you know, before. But it's a principle that we believe in a lot. And
love that.
You know, ultimately, like, what we want to do is is to provide part of a SoundCloud experience, like, no matter what device, what context, wherever you are. And, you know, there is, even though we're doing everything as fast as we can, there's just, like, it's not possible to be able to do everything. And people will come up with great ideas and specific
right.
use cases and stuff. And really, by opening up the platform and allowing people to build stuff on top of it, I think ultimately the user experience ends up being a lot better. So, you know, you have... well, I mean, now it's really awesome because, like, I just checked my stream earlier today and saw that I had, you know, a bunch of uploads from Triangulation there. So, you know, I have that there, which I can then, you know, if I'm in Flipboard, for example, you know, which previously was very much about sort of visual and written, where you know, I consume things like in a bunch of different ways. Like, I'll listen to news, I'll listen to music, I'll read news, I'll look at pictures. So there, like in Flipboard, it just makes perfect sense to have that complete experience there. And it was really great sort of to be able to get that one done quite fast. But it also, you know, it provides, you know, Apple, for instance, built SoundCloud into GarageBand for the iPad, which, you know, is an amazing app for anybody to be able to create music, even if you haven't done that before. It's like, it's very, very simple. And you create music on your iPad and then you just share it directly to SoundCloud. So, you know, we wouldn't be able to build, you know, everything that GarageBand on an iPad is, which is an important way for, like, a lot of people to be able to experience creating and sharing music. And there's also no way for us to be able to, you know, create a rich news experience that that Flipboard can do. But by opening up the API and, like, working with other people, like, then we can do this sort of, you know, thing of, like, putting Lego pieces together. And ultimately, I think, you know, that ends up being a lot better, a much better user experience.
We do, in fact, have a Twit account on SoundCloud, which we use sporadically, and I apologize. We're going to use it more often, soundcloud.com/Twit. That's an official.
There's a lot of good stuff up there.
Yeah, that's an official account. What we've been talking about, and I think we're probably going to do, is start using SoundCloud as our audio player on our Twit site, because I just love the commenting engine. But that means we're going to be stealing bandwidth from you. How can you afford all this bandwidth? I mean, how many millions of files are on SoundCloud servers right now?
There's quite a few of them.
Yes, that's an understatement.
No, it's a very big collection. But you know, it's there's definitely, you know, there's tremendous scale behind it, and there's quite a bit of cost with that as well. It's interesting with. It's interesting with sort of like economies of scale, though, with things on the web. I've been quite fascinated to see, you know, as the amount of bandwidth required goes up, like, how it's also possible to renegotiate prices on that. So it's, you know, sure, it's quite a lot, but you know, there's video sites out there that do quite well, and high quality audio is a lot less bandwidth than high quality video.
Certainly.
It's also a lot easier and cheaper to create, so that helps us quite a bit.
How do you work for tracking? Because, you know, I mean, as a podcaster, that's a huge concern. But I'm sure a lot of other people who put their stuff up there want to be able to get credit. And if they have advertisers, show advertisers or whatever. How does the API work with that if somebody was like, oh, I'd love to host my stuff on SoundCloud, but I want to be able to keep control of the numbers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's really straightforward to do. Like, the basic principle is just, you know, you upload it, and then you can either just grab the widget directly from there, and it's probably the biggest audio widget on the web, so you know that it's going to work in most contexts. But if you want to customize it, the API is open to be able to do pretty much any kind of integration you want. But then the cool thing is, like, everything is coming from that one single source, right? So no matter if you're if somebody's consuming it through Flipboard or through SoundCloud.com, it's all coming from that one file. So all of the stats and everything are directly connected to that file. So you can go into your SoundCloud stats and see, you know, plays, comments, these kind of things, but also, you know, where in the world these things are happening, where it's been embedded, and from which app people have been consuming it. So it really provides, like, a really full a full view of, like, what's actually happening with that sound.
So how did you the Flipboard deal just happened? Was this something that you approached them, they approached you? This really changes Flipboard dramatically, and I think makes it dramatically better. I will listen to shows as I'm now I can listen to audio in Flipboard as I'm flipping through it. In fact, it was so significant to me that it actually made me sit down and rethink our entire strategy at Twit.
Yep. Yeah.
Because I realized...
I'll tell Mike that.
No, absolutely. Please do. Because what I realized is, you know, for a podcast, they're a little tricky. It's hard to get. You have to figure out where they are. You have to download them. You have to subscribe. It's a lousy form, a lousy medium. And the only people who listen to podcasts, people are really determined to listen to podcasts. That's why we started doing live streaming. We thought that would be easier.
It's too hard to do it.
It's too hard.
Right? I mean,
but if you have an app, and it may not only be Flipboard, don't tell Mike that. But this is the future of media consumption: is that it's text, it's audio, it's video, and it's all intermingled. And and Flipboard is a really beautiful example of how it could be, where you're in a magazine and it has audio.
Yep, I think it goes back to just, like, making it, you know, really simple for, in this case, you know, somebody who wants to who wants to consume something that's sound-based, right? Like,
right.
I mean, like, they shouldn't have to set everything up in advance, like download,
exactly,
sync, like all of this stuff. Like, I mean, we don't live that kind of way anymore, right? It's like,
it's
you either
me.
Know what you want, you search, and then you stream it right away,
right,
or, like, you're in a specific experience where you're exploring things, and then you expect to be able to get it on whatever device you want, like, whenever you want it. And, like, just personally, like, I don't want to download anything. Like, I don't need to store the files myself. Like, somebody can do that on their servers instead, and I just want to hear it. So, you know, removing those obstacles between, you know, me and, say, a piece of news content, just being able to have that, either if it's on, you know, like the SoundCloud Android app on my phone, or, like, on my iPad, or through Flipboard, or in my browser through a widget, like, through the Facebook integration, wherever, like, it should just be available right there, right then. And anything that's sort of more complex than pressing play and hearing it is just unnecessary.
I agree. And it's something every podcaster kind of has to address and figure out.
You want to know when something new from a source arrives, and you want to be able to play it. You don't want to have
that's
to
it.
Manage
yep.
it.
That's it.
Yep.
Nothing
yep.
more than that.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything else is just between sort of the sound and the person who's interested in it. Like,
right.
you know, anything more than that is just an obstacle. In,
yeah.
In
so did Mike McHugh come to you and say, we want to add sound to Flipboard, would you help us? Or was it the other way around? Or were you just talking at were you at Sightglass Coffee having a cup of coffee? And how did that happen?
So we, what is it, like, we spoke a little bit, like, a couple of months ago. We met at some event and we were talking about it. It would be cool to do something. And then,
probably Le Web, right? You were both at Le Web. Let's say it was Le Web. It'll make Loic happy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Loic, it was at Le Web. I actually met Fred Wilson the first time at Le Web as well. So Loic is
there. You go.
Happy about that. So we talked a little bit about it then, and then we didn't really do anything about it. And then Mike reached out. It was maybe like a month and a half ago or something.
Wow.
And
wow.
You know, said let's do something. And then like it was really quick. Like their team was awesome. Like it was really. You know, we got it done really quick, and they did a really, really fantastic job. So it was great.
Neat. What? So you have free, which gives you 2 hours a total, right, on your site. For 29 euros, you can get 4 hours. €79, it goes up, and then there's other additional features like widgets, and you get more stats and so forth. What do most people do? I would imagine most people are free, right? What's the next biggest one?
Yeah, I mean, it's like the free account is pretty generous. So there's a lot of users on that, and then different groups of people will upgrade to different ones depending on what they need.
Right. Do you have a lot of professional broadcasters, radio stations? Think people like that using SoundCloud?
Yeah, it's been increasing a lot. I mean, more traditional radio, more sort of what you would think of as a traditional news organization, but also a lot of the, things like Al Jazeera or The Economist or The New Yorker, but also other things like more sort of, I guess, native online things like Stanford eCorner has a bunch of stuff up now, which is really good.
Interesting.
So it's really, really kind of all over the place.
It's very much enabling technology, I got to say. We're going to take a break. We're talking to Alexander Young of SoundCloud. He's the founder and CEO. When did you found SoundCloud? 5 years ago?
So we started... Originally back in 2007 was when we sort of started working on it and when we moved to Berlin. But we actually didn't launch the public version of the site until the end of 2008. So it's been sort of online and available since the end of 2008.
It's been around for four years, but it's an overnight success. So congratulations. actually, while I'm doing this commercial, we're going to listen to Alexander's recording of the ambience at Big Sur.
All right.
On his SoundCloud. Because it's not just music.
It's sound.
It's sound.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of cool.
We take you to Big Sur.
Can you hear that?
It's a very peaceful place.
It's very peaceful. There is nothing going on.
It is. The funny thing with sound is like, you know, when I listen to that one, I'm immediately transported back to that place in Big Sur.
And that's
like,
neat. I love that. What do you use to record?
This was just recorded on my iPhone. Like, the mic on the iPhone is incredible.
It's pretty good.
It's really like, mind blowingly good, actually, considering how easy it is. And I love the idea of like, you know, I have this microphone in my pocket like all the time. Wherever I go, there's always like, I always have a microphone in my pocket and a record button. And it's as simple as just pressing that button and I get a great sound. And then it's just like online right away. It's really. You know, it really works well.
Well, we're going to take a break, come back with more. I'm so happy for your success, Alexander. You and Eric have done such a good job. Oh, now I'm listening to something else. This is a GarageBand composition.
Yeah, that's something I made in GarageBand. Pretty nice, huh?
You know, my son, it's so huge. This is how he lets his friends hear his music, and he pastes it on Facebook it's really amazing. This portion of the Triangulation Show is brought to you by Alexander Young and Ford Electric Vehicles. I'll tell you, Ford is really exciting me with these new electric vehicles. I was, you know, I have to say, I was, you know, electric's been around for a while, and I think a lot of people like me.
Have a little hungry.
They're a little hungry right now. We're saying, where is Ford? You know, we've got the Chevy Volt. We've got the Nissan Leaf. Where is Ford? We've got the Teslas. Where is Ford with the electric vehicles? And I asked Alan Mulally, that the CEO of Ford, a year and a half, almost 2 years ago. He said, patience. We want to do it right. And now it's here, and I have to say, they really did. They took their time, and they came up with the 2012 Ford Focus Electric, now at your Ford dealer, all EV-certified Ford dealers. Early next year, it's going to be the plug-in hybrid, the Ford Fusion Energy for 2013. These are cars, and what you're going to see is electric and plug-in hybrids and hybrids across the entire Ford line. And that's what's exciting about this. It's not just one car. It's not just a showpiece. This is a commitment from Ford to make green vehicles that work for you as a customer. State-of-the-art lithium-ion batteries, the most fuel-efficient five-passenger vehicle in America. It gets 110 MPGE. That's the miles per gallon equivalent that they use for electric vehicles. That's the best city rating in its class. 110 miles per gallon equivalent. It has the best-in-class driving range of, get this, 76-mile driving range. That's fantastic. I get to the airport and back. It has the best-in-class charge time. If you get the optional charger, that home charger, that's great. 240 volts, you're going to charge in 3 to 4 hours from empty to full for pennies. 3 to 4 hours. That's half what the Leaf is. So, you know, it took them a little longer because they wanted to get it right. And, boy, howdy did they. Of course, they've got the Ford Sync and my Ford Touch have special EV features like the most eco-friendly route, the current battery state, the discharge rate. You can even program it to charge at the off-peak hours, the most affordable times. It's just really an interesting mix of capabilities that are all...
It's an environment.
It's an environment. It all goes together. An ecosystem. The regenerative braking system, which captures 90% of the energy lost during braking and sends it right back to the battery so it can be reused.
Not lost anymore.
Not anymore. So here's what you should do. You should either go to the website, Ford.com/technology, take a look, learn more. I think the best thing to do is to actually drive one. You're going to be amazed if you've never driven an electric vehicle. The torque in these things.
Well, it's so funny. People are like, great. Oh, so how do you drive it? I'm like, you drive it like a car. You get
exactly.
In, you put it in D.
Except
and you,
it's silent.
Yeah.
It sounds like Big Sur when you drive it.
I have a hybrid, and I pulled in an electric mode into a space, and almost this woman didn't hear me.
Right.
And
it's,
I got out.
It can
I was
be
like,
a little dangerous.
I'm so sorry. You know, I startled you. She's like, no, it was beautiful.
It is. It's peaceful.
Because it's Marin.
I wish it was all like that, frankly. Let's all get going with this here. The plug-in hybrid comes next year. You find out more, but best thing to do, go drive one. You'll find out how you drive it, just like a regular car at a Ford dealer near you. The Ford Focus 2012 Electric. And we thank Ford so much for their support of triangulation. We support them. They support you. You support us. We support triangulation. And SoundCloud, Alexander Jung. Do you have a very... Was it, because you guys are programmers, was the API very important to you right up front, or is that something you added later?
It was actually something that we added really early on. Like,
yeah.
I think we actually started working on it even before we launched publicly. So it was something that was always there from the start.
What were your goals with the API? What did you want to do?
It was really to be able to have this sort of rich ecosystem of different applications. Like we knew that, you know, the whole world kind of around, you know, open source software, somebody building something, then somebody else taking part of that, like it, making it better, building something else out of it, was something that we really came from. And having an API is just that as well, that, you know, it allows people to build other things on top of it and sort of show us in some ways what's possible. So it was really that idea of just like allowing a lot of other people to get involved and build things on top of it again.
And boy, howdy, did you. I mean, if you look at the app gallery, there's over 100 mobile, desktop, and web.
What I love about
this,
too,
intense.
It's really
when you look
amazing.
At this, you think, oh, great, they created an app platform. Everybody's shoving apps into everything these days. Because of my fantasy baseball league, they make you buy apps for things that used to just be you clicked
right.
on them. But that's not what's
right.
going on. What you've got here is much better, which it says, hey, these are apps you can get for your computer, for your tablet, that incorporate SoundCloud into them. It's much better.
It also goes the other way, because I see like SoundCloud on Roku now. I mean, you see it everywhere. You're very smart in your relationships and partnerships. People really, and I think it's because you have such a good API, people really embrace SoundCloud.
I think it's also like, you know, if you think about it, there's like, there isn't, like, if you have an application, say, I mean, some, like, very, very sort of high-end applications like Pro Tools, for instance, right. which is this, like, super high-end, like, audio software that they use for all the big movies and records and stuff. Like, you know, obviously that, if they want to integrate with an audio API, there's not really that much out there. And the SoundCloud one is now, you know, a couple of years in, is, like, really well-developed. There's a bunch of open open source libraries for pretty much any programming language. There's tons of examples, a lot of open source applications that make it really easy for anybody to get started on it. So I think, you know, one thing that we have done right with it is making it a very simple API to use and also providing a lot of material around how to get started really fast with it. So it's just, you know, it's for anybody wanting to add sound to their either add sound to their application, or if they have sound in their application and they want to add social to that, then it's a really easy step to just make use of the SoundCloud API for it.
So you did something interesting. Your employees said we want some hacker time. So you did like Google did, where you
20% time.
Yeah, you do 20%. You have hacker time for your employees. How is that working out? That's only about 3 months old now.
Yep, it's
actually five like months.
We've
old
had
now.
It for yeah, we've had yeah. it for a while now, and you know it's great. I think you know we've gotten better at taking some of the stuff that we create and open source it, and also spend a little bit more time talking about it, because it's a lot of things that we do, and then you know we rush to the next project and we forget that you know it actually makes sense to contribute some of this to the open source community and to write about it as well, both in terms of just sort of giving back to the community, but it also helps us get input from people. So I think the 20% time has worked well for that. I think we have a little bit of the same challenge with 20% time that I know other startups have as well, which is that not everybody actually makes use of it, even if it's right. there, and you know there's you know there's time to take for any project. It's you know people are so passionate about what we're building, and there's always a lot to do, and you know it's just hard to it's hard to find the time to actually take the time, even if it's there. I think we're not you know we're not utilizing all of it, or people aren't utilizing all of it, but. You know, it's there. We're encouraging people to make use of it, but ultimately, you know, it's their judgment on you know how they if they want to take it or if they want to spend that time on something else.
Here's one you have in your SoundCloud Labs. It's called Story Wheel. It lets people take their Instagram photos and do a nostalgic slideshow around it using audio. With SoundCloud. I mean, these are just really neat little ideas. I just really love.
Yep. Yeah, it's really cool, actually.
And the fruit of a city far away.
Sometimes the music isn't great.
But I think there is, like, the interesting thing that this one is exploring is this kind of thing of, like, you know, you can create a really powerful story by just having a voice and then a couple right. of still images. Like, sometimes I feel like, you know, video, for instance, it's so explicit that it doesn't right. leave space for... you know, for your mind to sort of think up parts of the story. But having just like a still image as an anchor and then right. somebody actually telling the story can create this really powerful feeling. And I think one of the things that we see that sometimes that I know I always like was you'll sometimes have news reports from different places in the world where it's just kind of sometimes like from a war zone or something where there's just a couple of still images and sort of background right. sounds. And for me, that was always a much more powerful way for people to convey.
It's like motion comics have that same sort of thing where you're not seeing animation. There's sound and then there's panels and it's all tied together. And it's a whole different experience. And in some ways, like you said, it gives your mind a chance to go in and fill in those gaps. That's really cool. Did you see the manual that was going around from Valve maybe a month so ago? About the 20% time and you're saying like, yeah, well, people, they just like working on the product so much they don't take advantage of the extra time. It made me think of that because if you believe the manual, they don't even assign people to projects. They just say, hey, you you want to work on something, then you got to get people to work on it with you. You got to do something compelling enough to make people want to work on it.
Yep. I mean, I read it. I think it's one of the most sort of you know, it's one of the most interesting things I've read in a long time. I haven't found anybody at Valve to sort of, you know,
confirm,
to talk to about sort of how that worked. Because I mean, what I like about it is also like they were highlighting what the challenges of that is as well. So I mean, what you'll find with like any kind of system of how to organize sort of group efforts, mm-hmm. is that it, you know, whatever system you choose, it has pros and cons. No way is totally ideal, and I think, you know, there was some good points in that book about sort of, you know, what the issues with their system was, and they were just sort of open with it. But I thought it was really cool. A lot of things in there which, you know, is kind of tricky to figure out how it actually works, but I thought it was really inspiring.
Have you taken anything from that yet, or are you just kind of mulling it around?
I mean, there's a couple of things that are similar, but also like I'm not sure. I don't believe so much in, like, you know, you see something like that and then you sort of like just pick a couple of things out and then sort of try and put that in place right away. I think like we're trying to take things like that as input and then figure out, you know, what are the reasonings behind it, what are the really important things we want to accomplish, and then figure out what ways we get there. So it's easy to kind of just like, you know, see a specific idea and then say, oh, we have to do this, but we're trying to kind of like reflect a little bit more on it before doing that.
Yeah, make it apply to your situation.
Exactly. Because again, like everything will have its, like, it will have its pros and its cons. There's nothing that is perfect. So we really want to sort of think about how we do those things.
Magpie in our chat room wants to know what format do you store the sound in on your servers? Is it stored as MP3s or?
So we do, you know, we really think that when somebody's uploading, they shouldn't have to think about the things like formats and stuff like that. If you are conscious about that, great. But if you're not, then you shouldn't have to be. So we try to sort of accept any format in. And what we do then is that we store everything in its original format so that, you know, if you need it back again, then it's the original thing. But we convert it into an MP3 so that we can use for the actual streaming of it. But the original file is always stored there as well.
Oh, that's really nice. So if I download, it's really, for me, it's an archive then. You're storing the same file.
One interesting thing is, you know, if you notice the limits are based on minutes,
right.
not size.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which, if you think about what that means, it means that, you know, upload it as high quality as you want. Like,
right.
it won't
give them
it won't
flack.
Matter. So it won't.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You're encouraging high quality. That's great.
Yes.
And then it's 128 kilobit MP3 downloading to me, or?
So the stream is always like a 128 MP3.
Yeah.
But if you allow others to download it, they will get the original file.
They get the original as well.
Yeah. And you always obviously have the, you know, can always download your own stuff, and that will be the original file as well.
And your player is not Flash; it's HTML5, isn't it?
Yeah, the widget now that we have out is all HTML5 and really awesome. So we're trying to move as much to that as possible. So everything's available as you would expect the web to be available.
Cool. We're talking with Alexander Young about SoundCloud. It's his company, a really fantastic company, and we're excited. We're going to be doing a lot more with them, but that's not the occasion for the interview. Actually, I just think he's a really interesting.
It's just because it's a cool program. Yeah.
We'll come back in just a moment. It's cool. It's just cool. But first, a word for those of you who are media creators out there. This is a site that I think has a lot in common with SoundCloud. It's called Pond5. They call themselves the world's stock media marketplace for buyers and for sellers. And that's one of the things I want to underscore for you. In fact, Pond5 told me that the majority of accounts, people do both. So you might go there because you're looking for video or a perfect illustration for your PowerPoint presentation. But then you realize, gosh, you know, I could sell some of my pictures. I could sell some of my...
I guess that makes sense. If you're a creator looking for stuff to supplement
your
creation,
creator.
You got some creations that you might as well put up there.
Look at the sound effects. Very similar to SoundCloud. They have a little waveform there. Videos, photos, illustrations, music, too, if you're looking for themes for shows. It's great for podcasters, sound effects and music and so forth. There are 1.1 million video clips up there, 7,500... 14 fresh ones this week alone.
I've yet to be stymied looking for something.
You can find almost anything. Yeah. Do you use this?
Or we,
you
just, we
enter it in for fun?
We're always having fun going through there, Brian Brushwood and I, trying to figure out the craziest plot point of a movie we could make. And do we have stock footage of all that stuff?
And then, by the way, they have a free clip every single week that you can download. And 25 free sound effects that you can download if you go to Pond5 right now. P-O-N-D, the number 5. .com. Their royalty rate is the most generous in the business. They share it basically with you 50-50, which is fantastic.
That's
much
crazy.
More than you'd get from anybody, any other stock agency.
50 and, points.
And if you get 50 points on your upload there, and you get to set the price too, so you determine how much you're going to make on it. Prices start at just $5 for stock video and music, $2 for sound effects. If you want to try it out right now, we've got a special deal for you, 25% off. Just use the offer code TWIT25, TWIT25, and do check out the free stuff. Look at this. I don't know what. Is that bacteria?
Or tadpoles under lens? Which one is it? Doesn't matter. It
looks like here's the thing. If you know, you might say, well, I'm not a filmmaker, but if you're a scientist in a lab and you've got video of tadpoles, what the hey? You know, upload it.
Totally.
They have video from all over the world. Give me a city in somewhere in the world.
Jakarta.
Berlin.
Well, of course, Berlin.
Yeah. Berlin. So let's get some footage of Berlin. There are 1,689 clips from Berlin, 2,714 stock photos, 180 vector illustrations, 155 Berlin sound effects. So here's a time-lapse drive through Berlin 6. This is a tunnel, I guess. Look at that. So, you know, and the thing is, this person made it. And it's selling it online. He's going to charge $50. That means he gets 25 of it. So I want you to check out Pond5. Save 25%. There's the Brandenburg Gate with audio.
You too can be a jelly donut.
Ich bin ein jelly donut. I just think it's really, really cool. If and if you've got video clips and you'd like to sell them, here's your chance. Or photos or illustrations or sound effects or music. Pond5.com. And don't forget, if you're buying 25% off this month, just use our offer code TWIT25. Alexander Young is with us, and I've been mispronouncing his name for at least 6 months, so I'm so sorry, Alexander. I'm glad asked. God.
It's a strange name.
It's Swedish.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So I noticed, like, my friend Dan Patterson, who has posted on here 490 clips. And he was working at ABC Radio, and he decided to go it on his own because he was covering Occupy Wall Street. And they weren't putting any of the coverage on the air. He's got interviews on here. He then went on the road as an independent covering campaign 2012. And all of this using existing media. He was using Storify for his pictures, SoundCloud for his audio. I just think this is a really good example of how this changes everything.
He was also like on, there's an integration with Storify as well. So like, you know, you can gather your sounds and photos and everything there. So the stuff that he was, you know, creating like in the moment reports were all like on his Storify as well. So it was a really great case.
You do have a superb iPad app, which I really like.
Yeah. Have you checked? I noticed like, I don't know if you see, but we launched the next SoundCloud recently, which is a complete redesign of the web app, which if you like,
iPad
application, if you go to next.soundcloud.com.
You don't mind if our entire audience goes there?
No, go for it. Like it's still in private beta.
Not so much private anymore.
Well, you need an invite. So,
oh, okay.
And the reason for it is like it's... I mean, it's a really like crazy nice experience to use, but we're also releasing it like uncomfortably early. So it's not complete, and there's still a couple of things missing there. So that's why we're having the sort of the invite thing now. It's really cool. Like, it's basically looking at our web app and then, you know, redoing it from the ground up. So you see from some of the screenshots there, and there's also like a ton of new features as well. Like really cool things like continuous play, like while you're browsing throughout the app, reposting.
I like it that the comments sets are now threaded underneath that, because that was always a problem, is you have to hover over the comments. I like that a lot.
I mean, it's cool to see where they are in the sound, but then also have the other options.
Yeah, both, right?
Yep. And there's more focus on the waveform. Like, I mean, we really, really believe in sort of the waveform as a way to, you know, make the sound sort of more tangible, you know, visible and shareable. So, if you're into the sort of the feel of the iPad app, like you're gonna really like Next.
Well, you answered my next question, which is what's next for SoundCloud. But is there anything else that you're excited about that you're up to?
Well, honestly, like, you know, we've been really excited about Next for quite a while, and that's, you know, part of why we released it so early as well, because we really wanted to share that, and it's like, you know, for me at least, it's just a completely different experience. Like, I'm really addicted to it. I'm spending way too many hours per day.
That's a good sign.
It's really amazing. It's like, it's fast. It behaves like, you know, much more like an app. There's this like keyboard short commands, and you know, it's just really taking it up another level. So in terms of like what's, you know, that's what was next, and what's next now is really just kind of like getting people into the private beta, like ironing out a few quirks and really, really rolling that out as fast as possible.
Do you have a target date that you're shooting for, or a season or a quarter or something?
No, not really yet. Like it is really, in some ways it is quite, like we're rolling it out very, very early because we kind of want people to be part of creating it. I mean, so far the feedback has been amazing. So I think, you know, we're going to look at what we can do to roll it out faster than we had thought. But it's still so early that it's hard to say exactly what the date. Yeah.
Gotcha. Alexander, you're doing great stuff, and you're just inspiring people. You're introducing them to new sounds, new music. You're inspiring people to create new sounds and music, and I love audio, so I'm really pleased to see it. If you explore SoundCloud, you'll see there's people like John Mayer there posting music. There's radio stations. There's people like our friend Dan Patterson doing, you know, journalism. The Economist is on SoundCloud. It's become a platform for everybody in the world, and it must be exciting to be watch this happening. I really think it is Flickr for audio. I'm going to go with that, not YouTube. Flickr for
I'm just glad to see audio getting the love and care that it deserves. So I'm happy you guys are around.
Yeah, we love audio. Every podcast should be on here.
Because I think a lot of people, when podcasting was hot, it got a lot of attention. And then everybody moved, oh, no, now it's video. And they just abandoned audio, unfortunately. Yeah. And there's still lots to be done with audio. And you can see that when you go to SoundCloud.
And I mean, I'm completely convinced that, you know, sound is going to be a much bigger part of the web than video is, for sure.
Like, good. We're turning off all the cameras. That's it.
It's easier to create, and you can consume it in parallel while doing other things. Like that in that in itself is
huge.
Is huge. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I think that the Flipboard thing's interesting, because you can flip and listen.
You can record audio and post it. It's there.
Like that.
Done.
I can literally
wait for encoding.
I could do. In fact, I did this because Scoble made me mad. So I did a little Spreaker to SoundCloud to Facebook thing in the middle of Security Now the other day. I was doing another show, but I thought, well, while Steve's talking, I'm going to do a little show right here.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. It was awesome. Very exciting. And you're right. The iPhone mic sounds great. Alexander, thank you so much. All the best. Good luck to you. And thank you so much for staying up late with us and talking about SoundCloud.
Cool. Thanks a lot for having me on the show, guys.
Alexander Jung, founder and CEO of SoundCloud. Com. Next week, we're going to have Rob Reed. I'm very excited to talk about copyright math.
Former copyright lawyer, had that five-minute TED talk about copyright math.
He started Rhapsody.
And he's got a novel coming out based on aliens and copyright law. Lots to talk
Finally,
about.
Finally, the definitive alien and copyright law novel has been written.
Yeah.
Have you read it?
I have, yeah.
Oh, I'm excited.
Really
I'm excited. That's next week. We'll talk to Rob Reed. Morgan Webb's husband. That's really...
He's also Morgan Webb's
husband. We buried the lead. Morgan Webb's husband joins us next week on Triangulation. Thank you for joining us. We do Triangulation 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 2200 UTC, every Wednesday on Twit. We invite you to stop by and join us. Tom Merritt and I love it if you're here live. But, you know, after the fact, you can always go and get the audio or video from our website, twit.tv/TRI. Tom will be back tomorrow at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m.
And
Eastern.
Smurfly.
For what? For TNT?
For Tech News Today.
Oh.
I said absolutely.
Oh, I thought you renamed the show and I didn't.
And we're also changing the name of the show. Well, don't worry about it. It's fine.
TNT tomorrow, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern time.
It's all good.
I'll be back at 11 a.m. for Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next time on Triangulation. Stay tuned. This Week in Radio Tech is next. Double A-M's... MCO. And by...
Your locally owned, independently.
You know, I used to do those for the Giants. I used to do... That's what I used to do.
Oh, yeah.
I did that whole open. The San Francisco Giants are brought to you by... Pond5, the world's stock media marketplace. If you're a media maker who needs... I won't be able to do this with a straight face. San Francisco Giants Baseball is brought to you by AMCO, AAMCO, and by Carpeteria.
Tap Plastics.
It was Tap Plastics, yep. Anheuser-Busch. St. Louis, Missouri.
And when you think change, think Speedy Oil Change.
Speedy Oil Change? Sausages. It was somebody's sausages. It was a Sogs. It was Sogs sausages.
It's
the same sponsors still.
Probably.
That was years ago. Many moons.
AMCO was a Cardinals baseball.
Yeah, double
that's where I remember that.
MCO. I don't know if I did AMCO. We had Speedy or Jiffy Oil Lube or Jiffy Speedy Oil Lube. If it's time for a change, it's time for...
that's right.
Remember?
It's the Speedy Oil Change. Call to the bullpen.
Call to the bullpen.
When it's time for a change, think Speedy Oil Change.
I hate that crap. Although, now that I run a media empire, I sure appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah.
If we could figure out ways to say, it's time for a change. Tom Merritt's going to go over to the Triangulation bullpen, and while he does, here's a word from our sponsor. Look at the hair
of the Kirk Harnack call to the bullpen.
It's the Kirk Harnack call to the bullpen.
I was just trying to think of who all the sponsors. When I was a kid, I listened to the Cincinnati Reds.
Oh, yeah.
Marty Brenneman, and who's the other guy that called the games?
So we had Jack Buck and Mike Shannon, but I don't remember who was
Jack Buck and Mike Shannon, Marty Brenneman, and the old left-hander. Now, who? Oh, gosh.
Nuxall?
Come on, chat room. Who was he? Marty Brenneman. Joe Nuxall.
Yeah.
Joe Nuxall, who was also the youngest professional baseball player in history, started at something like 14 years old.
What? Wow.
When he first came up in the 50s. Yeah.
Yes. Wow. That's pretty amazing. You know, it's really actually a thrill when you get to be a part of something like that. I mean, I just did the opens. But, you know, you realize that there's people that will never hear that in their head for the rest of their life.
Yes.
So it's kind of a fun thing to be part of.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Hank Greenwald was a good friend, and we used to go up in the booth. And, yeah.